can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don and Ivan, if I could just give a ham-fisted preamble to this, because probably in our lifetime, there's been no more controversial thing that's ever happened, I don't think, as far as any, certainly in the medical field, as what happened 3 years ago with the COVID outbreak that said came from bats and pangolins over in China, and now has been almost without doubt been confirmed that it came from an escaped mutate or something over in the Wuhan laboratory. And then the US got on board and created under Donald Trump a vaccine called Warp Speed. But Trump, in fairness to him, said it had never been tested, proven or confirmed that it actually worked, but it was, something was necessary, and the Biden government ran with it, and the rest is history. It's reduced the Western world's economy to a rabble, whether it be by design or accident, and the jury is out, and plenty of people think it's by design. And the insistence that everyone get vaccinated twice, three times, have boosters, with all the various companies that have made billions for the pharmaceutical companies. And we had this gentleman on maybe 18 months ago, when there was some questions about what was going on, and it might have been promoted by Novak Djokovic, who wasn't allowed to come into Australia because he wouldn't be vaccinated, because he said exactly what I just said then, it hasn't been proven and he didn't want to do it and all that sort of stuff. And he got ostracised like anyone else. I see Jack Darling is now suing Channel 7 because they said he is anti-Jack.
Who is Jack Darling?
Yes, good point, Donald. He is a West Coast Eagles footballer, and he wasn't allowed to play football because he wasn't vaccinated, and a bit like Djokovic. And he is now suing Channel 7 because they kept saying and putting him on the front of the paper saying he wouldn't get vaccinated and he's a disgrace and he's a health risk to everyone.
Anti-Jack.
What did I say? I did say anti-Jack, I think. Anyhow, anti-Jack. And so, this is a very ham-fisted way, and I'll just mention one other thing about it all. And I mentioned this last week, and this is how people get silenced. And someone said this: our society is so dumbed down and indoctrinated that anyone who is a critical thinker is now perceived as a conspiracy theorist. So if you have some questions about the vaccine or anything that's going on, you are considered a conspiracy theorist, and you come under the heading of misinformation, which is an out for those people who push a contrary view. So having said all that, we had this gentleman come on and chat about it, and we've asked him back, in light of the fact that a person high up in the Pfizer organisation, we'll ask him about this, has been caught on camera in a covert or overt, he didn't know anyhow, that he was being filmed saying that they actually mutate the virus so that they can get ahead of it and make vaccines that might help it. They are doing nothing more than gain of function research, which is what they accuse the Chinese of doing over in Wuhan. So without any further, we welcome Dr. Robbie Peterson back to You Cannot Be Serious. And let me just tell you who Robbie Peterson is. He was a North Melbourne footballer between 1968 and 1974. You've been chatting to him off air. He played 79 games, Don. You reckon he kicked 8 goals, 7 in one game, or he did. I don't know if that's bullshit or not, but at 16 years and 45 days, he was the youngest debutant ever to play for North Melbourne. And he retired after the grand final loss in 1974. How am I going, Robbie? So that's who you were. You are still with us. That's who you were in your sporting career. And then you took up a medical career. And you have been outspoken about, I think, and have some different views, not wrong ones, but just different views. And you might fall under the category of conspiracy theorist. Where are we up to now? And are you in fear? You were in fear last time, I think, of being ostracised by the Australian Medical Association because doctors are not meant, they're meant to just go along with whatever is the edict. I think I might have got that right. So where are you now and why are you here? Because you've retired and that's why you can speak, is it? How did I go with all that?
Pretty good. The AMA, no, they weren't involved, but I am... like an incredibly large number of docs who have been silenced. It's misinformation, disinformation, anything we say. Whenever we try and submit articles anywhere, they're just not processed. And there's been an incredible worldwide...
revolt.
Yeah, it's massive. Interestingly enough, and I'll throw this in, on Sunday week, two of the pioneer groups, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Pierre Corey. They've got a conference at Jeff's Shed Sunday week, and these are the preeminent people who, from the word go, were trying to treat people with ivermectin, which had been proven to be successful, and so
why are they talking at Jeff's Shed?
They're talking because of the passage of time over this three-year journey. The scientific method. Let's go back to the scientific method. So the scientific method is a theorem that's put forward, which is then modified according to data that's accrued over time. Now, with regards to the concept of the COVID, and I'd like to go through the sequence of events to remind everybody, and so the data that's come out over time has shown that the alarm bell should be absolutely ringing, and they are trying to, with an exceptionally growing number of people worldwide, make it known, the latest stats and so forth. So... you know, we go back to the original Wuhan virus. When it was released from China, we heard about it being in Italy and also in New York, and the TV news, etc., was just fear and panic, and people were falling down in the streets, etc. But the feedback that we were getting was, in actual fact, it wasn't across all age groups. But the image that they were putting forward was that. But we knew, we had heard reports that in fact 90% of the people that were dying were over 75 with three or more comorbidities. And actually what happened in March of last year, the Italian government itself released the factual numbers which substantiated that way back in 2020 when they had the initial attack, in fact, it was 90% of people, and it wasn't across the board. So what happened was this fear was introduced to us, and as we all remember, we were told that we're going to have a flatten the curve lockdown for a couple of weeks because the only way to stop this terrible pandemic was to lock down. But with the passage of time, again... there was a declaration called the Great Barrington Declaration where the very best epidemiologists and scientists around the world said lockdowns are not going to stop the spread, and in fact the damage that they're going to occur economically, on small business, socially and with kids as far as their education and also mentally, well, we're seeing that in spades with kids mentally.
Yep. And also in business.
And business, and also our NAPLAN results have collapsed the whole shebang. They warned that this was going to happen, and they presented this information to all the governments of the world and they ignored it.
Yes, so Robbie, and the reason they ignored it is because the corruption involved in the government's getting involved with the pharmaceutical companies to just push out this edict that this would be the... I remember the president, Joe Biden, saying, if you take the vaccine, you won't get COVID. Not only wouldn't you get COVID, Andrew Cuomo, who was the governor of New York, killed 6,000 people by putting people out of an aged care facility into a hospital where COVID...
No, in reverse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, he took... killed 6,000 people out of taking people out of a hospital and putting them in an aged care facility, the very people who are at risk, those who had underlying health problems or the aged.
Absolutely.
And it is the most criminal behaviour by governments, and they're still going on.
What about here in Australia, locally? Look at it locally.
I'm just saying that the man here that runs this state... There were five cases. He closed the whole state down, and yet got a bunch of people to look after the quarantine who were not qualified. And while there was a handful of deaths in other states, we had 800 here in this state. How these people get away with it is extraordinary, and they're not starting to get away with it because of people like you who are not conspiracy theorists, who are now... they say, trust the science. They only trust the science when it's convenient for them to trust the science. And when the science doesn't back up what they say, oh, no, it's different.
Well, look, I'd like to get onto specifically what you said then, Sam, at the end, because what's happening in Queensland is exactly along the lines of what you said in a new piece of legislation, which is frightening. But, yeah, so it unfolded. Everybody been locked down. The damage was enormous. Small businesses wiped out, etc. And so people were, you know, it was part of, I believe, the process that they'll do anything to get out of this set of circumstances. Now, throughout the last 60 years in medicine, in vaccine studies and vaccine developments, the average duration is between 5 and 10 years to develop a vaccine. And if during that period of testing, if there was a total of 50 people that died, whether it be year 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, while they were looking at potential side effects, etc., the minute the 50 people died, the study was aborted. Now, a classic example of that was the swine flu back in 1976, and they aborted the study after 25 people died. Now, what happened with us, and this is the incredible thing, we were put into this fear campaign that this is going to slaughter people. And by the way, with this period of time over 3 years, what have we found out? We found out COVID, now this is the interesting thing, if we all remember, did you die with or from COVID? That was never separated, by the way. But anyway, we'll throw them all in one figure. But what we now know over the journey is that the number of people die from COVID is no greater than a nasty flu. That's the first thing. But the second thing which has come out now, of course, now, this is misinformation, disinformation. No, it's information that you're not given full stop, is that more people have died from the vaccines than from COVID.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
So this is the process. So we get a situation where there was this 60 years of study in vaccines. So out of the blue, they come up with, well, Pfizer have done this study on their own vaccine, and in fact, they were giving the information to our analysts, the TGA and ATAGI, to make a decision whether this vaccine was safe to give to the Australian people. Well, as we found out, and I had known this, and at our last interview, I think I mentioned this, but the FDA itself in 2020, but of course it wasn't well publicised in Australia, actually said in 2020, the FDA in America...
What's the
Federal
FDA?
Drug Administration?
Yeah, they're in charge of the same as the TGA and ATAGI in Australia. Mm-hmm. They actually said it doesn't stop transmission. But we weren't told that. If you went on the internet, and by the way, I'm going to tell people this, if you use Google Chrome, it's censored. It's just as censored as Facebook.
Suppressed algorithms stop you actually putting in it. It is the most disgraceful thing that no one could get any of this information because the big tech, cancelled anyone who had a differing opinion because it was a political rort.
Exactly. So you need to use Firefox, Fox, or DuckDuckGo, or one of those to get the real data, because Google Chrome just censors it. So we end up using the FISA data, the TGA and TAGI to
assist. Who's we?
The power brokers who make the decision on the management of health for Australians, and that's a TGA and a TAGI, and they use the FISA data. Well, as was released in February of last year, a Freedom of Information through Freedom of Information Act, we were able to access the first 3 months of the FISA data. Now, bear in mind, this is absolutely staggering what happened in America. The FDA in America, and we've all lived this, the FDA in America initially said, we are quite happy to censor the FISA data and not release it for 75 years. They then were attacked in the newspapers, so they made a real major... what's the word?
Issue out of it?
You know, they said, okay, we'll change it to 50 years.
Oh, yes, sorry.
No wonder why they would do that. You're not to hear any of the data from the FISA study, which was going to be the reason for people being given permission or the go-ahead to give vaccines.
FISA asked Congress in America to have them immune from any legal action.
Correct, and we've signed up to that too.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. So that's why in Australia it's still to this day a provisional vaccine, and that makes them immune from lawsuits. Now, the other interesting thing is when it was released as experimental in America and provisional in Australia, part of the contingency of it being released was that there was no known treatment. So this is where, after the lockdown started occurring, and this was before the vaccines were released, when preeminent doctors, and there were over 60 studies back in that time that showed that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine worked in early treatment, but there was this massive propaganda campaign, disinformation, to call it a horse paste, etc., when it had been used for 35 years with no problems. And interestingly enough, there was a 2007 study on hydroxychloroquine in 2007 that showed that it worked against chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine in 2007 that showed that it worked against coronavirus in 2007.
Sorry, that was the man who was being interviewed surreptitiously from Pfizer. Sorry,
Johnson.
I'll get onto that in a minute, saying that they actually do mutate. I played that in error. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. The government said that, look, it's horse paste, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine doesn't work, which basically meant that down the road, when these provisional jabs were released, there was, according to that, there was no known treatment, so therefore they were able to be released. Now, again, let's go through the journey. We're going through this journey. And so we were told that the data said, yes, it's okay for release. And bear in mind that previously, for 60 years, for 5 years or whatever, what they didn't tell us, but we found out through Freedom of Information that enabled us to get access to the first 3 months of the FISA data, that in they admitted themselves, and they said that actually it may be underreported, they admitted that in the first 3 months of their Pfizer study that 1,223 people died and that 40,000 people had major side effects, of which they named 1,200 different ranges of damage. And yet, with this knowledge, and of course this wasn't knowledge that the public had, with this knowledge, the scientific method, the evidence-based approach that we had had for 60 years with regards to vaccines was torn up into shreds and thrown away, and away we go. We're going to have these new genetic altering jabs, and of course we all remember right at the start they said they're going to be 95% efficient and they're going to stop transmission. Well, hello, they knew, and I heard one of your programs a month or two ago where you were quite upset about the European government. Miss Small, the Pfizer,
yes.
She fessed up and said transmission wasn't part of it, and you got quiet. Well, our TGA and Atagi knew this from the start. So here we go. They told us 95% protection, no transmission. They knew that was wrong. But they were the basis of the mandates for people to go to work. And we were prepared to... People lose their jobs. You've got to get jabbed because, you know, otherwise you're going to spread it and you can't go to work. This has been a farce.
The boss of Pfizer was interviewed, this is 2 years ago, walking into a... thing, and the reporter said, have you had the injection? He said, no. He said, I haven't. He said, because I'm not in one of the risk categories. And they were saying that everyone, kids, everyone who's on the planet should have it.
Okay.
So and boosted and everything.
All right. So look, what you just said, it's going back to late 2021. So... that's when Omicron came. Now, we kept having this absolute assault. You've got to get boosted, you've got to get boosted. They knew, Birla, the chief of Pfizer, plus the chief of Moderna, said that the vaccine that we were using, which was the original vaccine to the Alpha virus, and we were four strains down the road into Omicron, and they were herding people to get boosted with the original vaccine, and the two chiefs, one of Pfizer, one of Moderna, said it's no good against Omicron. And yet they were pushing it. But this is the crime of the century as far as I'm concerned, and I've been so angry, as are so many of the doctors around the world. We knew children, particularly 20 years and under, unless they were born with major health problems, nothing much happens to them. You know, they have enormous immunity. 70 to 80% of the kids have a runny nose and that's it. They don't even know they're sick. And we decided that despite this, we've got to get the kids vaccinated. Oh, let me think of a good idea. I know, we'll protect grandpa and grandma.
Yep.
And yet they knew that it doesn't stop transmission.
Yep.
But where the really shocking thing in my mind is they were given the same vaccine, the Alpha vaccine, which they knew wasn't going to work against Omicron.
So the medical advisor, chief medical advisor to the president, Anthony Fauci, is nothing more than a charlatan, because he was part of sending money to China for gain-of-function research. He denied all that. He's since been found out to be a liar. And we will get on to the man from Pfizer.
Well, we can do that now. So,
The Pfizer executive said that they mutate the COVID via direct evolution, which means gain-of-function, for the company to continue profiting off the vaccines. COVID is going to be a cash cow for us, he said. That is not what we say in the public, but we won't. That's not what we say to the public. People won't like that, but don't. So don't tell anyone. I mean, this is a man admitting that they jig up the virus so that they can get ahead of it, or not even ahead of it, make up bogus vaccines and treatments that do it, and they've made billions out of it. And if Anthony Fauci's not part of the cash cow, and he's the chief medical advisor to the president,
he's retired now.
I tell you why he's retired, because they've changed the House of Representatives in America has now become Republican, and they were after him, and he's got out before they go him.
Yeah.
So what about moving forward now, Rob? Is there, and I've brought it up with a couple of medicos that we've had, people, there seems to be after effects, whether it be long COVID or whatever else. Karen Phelps, a couple of weeks ago, raised concern about she and her partner and how she was censored by, is it the AMA? I know you've been censored. They didn't realise you'd retired because you the work you've been doing. But this long COVID or the effects, and I know, and it seems to be a lot of women have it, not men, but women. Are these effects from the strain of COVID or the vaccines?
Going back to March 2021, Dr. Robert Malone, who was involved in inventing the messenger RNA technique, Geert van den Bosch, who was a 30-year pro, very famous vaccinologist, developed vaccines, plus Mark Yaden, who'd been for 16 years previously, he'd been in charge of science at Pfizer. In March 2021, they said these gene therapies, they were very concerned about the fact that if the world went down the pathway of having repeated vaccines, or not vaccines, gene therapies, and that was an interesting thing, by the way, they called them vaccines to make people more to encourage people to have them rather than what they actually are, because as we know, a vaccine is supposed to stop 95% of people getting it and stop transmission, and it doesn't happen. And as they told us, I'm digressing here, but as they told us initially, 3 months later, they changed the narrative, as we can all remember. Oh, no, you can still get it and you can still transmit it, but you're not going to die and you're not going to go to hospital. And then they changed it, saying, oh, yeah, but you need another booster and another booster. So back to Malone and Van den Bosch, they predicted that if we end up having multiple vaccines, the gene therapy, in effect, would make the body produce only the one antibody and stop the body from producing antibodies for any new virus, which could include COVID variants or any other virus that's out there that we might come along, that the body can't respond by producing new antibodies because the factory's been taken over by the gene therapy. Well, that ended up being proven to be correct with what happened in...
So what my original question was, so what we're experiencing now is a fact of the too many vaccines, because people that I'm... friends of mine who've got it are inoculated or vaccinated right up to date.
Right, so... So that was their proposition, and it was basically what they described was ADE, which is antibody dependent enhancement or escape. Now that seems to be absolutely correct. But since then, there's been two significant studies that have come up with two other immunological pathway mechanisms, which can account for what is happening. Now, these theories, they've shown that between a second messenger RNA vaccine and a third messenger RNA vaccine, an immunoglobulin called IgG3, which is responsible for fighting viruses in a significant number of people when they have the third messenger RNA, their IgG3 levels are wiped out, which makes them exceptionally exposed to any virus going around. Now, also, there was another study that showed that type 1 interferon, and interferon's been around for a long time, and it's been very important in suppressing cancer cells, it has been damaged, and it is suggesting that there is now a grave risk of people having issues with increased cancers.
So Robbie, I saw this and this was suppressed, but this is on the platforms that do have no problem about mentioning this. They said there were at least 2,500 deaths from cardiac or problems associated with the vaccine. And the most high-profile one that they're investigating is Damar Hamlin, the man who had a heart attack for the Buffalo Bills, collapsed on the ground after a tackle. And they... I don't know if they've come out and said that was as a result of the booster, but that was why he got all the publicity, because that seemed to verify the fact that these have been deleterious to your health.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't know if
accurate. No, you're spot on there. But look, I'm going to go right back to December 2021. And England started producing weekly figures in December 2021, where they released the percentage of people in hospital with COVID, in intensive care with COVID, and on a weekly basis. Now, what happened by about the second week in February, the percentages of people in hospital, by far the greatest in representation were those that had been triple vaxxed. The next greatest number were those that have been double vaxxed, followed by single vaxxed. And in intensive care, the numbers who were unvaxxed had basically faded into the night. Now, by the second week...
Hang on. They weren't in intensive care.
No.
So all the people that had been vaccinated were in intensive care, whereas the unvaccinated weren't.
Correct.
But would they have died before getting to hospital?
No. Well, again, I would imagine that you'd have to assume that the media would have been going ballistic if there were more people falling down who are unvaccinated dying. But the thing was, the most vaccinated people were the highest numbers.
Yep.
Now, this is where... So what happened was, these figures were so stark, they stopped them being published. They banned them. Well, have a guess what happened here. This was unbelievable. The New South Wales Health Department in October, November and December were publishing the same figures. And by December, what did it show? It showed that in New South Wales hospitals, those that had four were the highest numbers, followed by three, followed by two, followed by one, and hello, very, very few, if any, unvaccinated. And by the middle of December, they then shut that down. So this gets back to what I was talking about before, and we were talking about before, where the immunological state with the figures that are out there and the science that the three different components with Malone and the IgG3 is showing, I don't know, make up your own minds, but it's very clear with the figures, the more you're vaccinated, the greater at risk you are, and the greater it seems to be that there's immunological damage. Now, really interesting. This is really interesting. I saw this today, and I'm going to talk about it for 1 second. There was an article in the Herald Sun today saying that people who are immunologically deficient should consider having a fifth. Well, it seems to me from the data that I've just been talking about, you become more and more immunologically deficient the more you have.
So
this is what's happened, and I'm just reporting what's happened.
Now, Robbie Peterson, would you think Peter McCullough and Mr. Malone and even you, are you suggesting that you should not have any further vaccinations, you should not even have the vaccination?
Absolutely.
Are you suggesting that?
No, absolutely. But, well, it's already happening, Sam, in Norway.
That's pretty... That is against the current trend... Not trend, that is the current edict of the governments.
Yes.
But you're saying that you should never, ever, after this, be vaccinated against COVID.
With messenger RNA vaccinations. I mean, the protein-based ones that they have developed, Novavax is one, and there'll be other protein-based, they're a different ballgame. They're the old-fashioned vaccines. So if and when, you know, further vaccines are developed as protein-based in the old-fashioned way, no problems. But look, you know, Norway have stopped vaccinating people under 65. Denmark have stopped people under 50. England is in the process right now of stopping people under 50. And yet we are trying to suggest keep getting vaccinated. Now, the interesting thing was, before Christmas, it was publicly announced by the health people that the latest vaccines only last 2 months. Now, that's an interesting thing. They're saying you get it, it'll only last 2 months. But we're chasing, by the time you get a vaccine, by the time you get a vaccine, there's been a new strain, a new mutant strain. So it's probably not of any good anyway. But there's a lot of papers out there saying it doesn't last 2 months. It only lasts 2 weeks.
Can I ask, can I bring you up to date a bit? And this is you. A couple of months ago, the AMA rang you?
APRA.
APRA rang you. Why did they ring you?
During... I was so unhappy about...
Were you outspoken?
Absolutely, I was outspoken. But again, to actually get onto any media sites or writing articles being published in the newspapers just didn't happen. And it was basically about what I mentioned before with regards to teenagers, people under the age of...
So what did APRA say to you when they rang?
Well, I made up 25,000 flyers, which was trying... And I basically said the stats with regards to kids not being... unless they had major health problems being affected, and 80% had very few symptoms. Please go to these websites and look these facts up before you rush in and vaccinate your kids. And so I had these flyers distributed through my electorate, and there was a complaint, and APRA said, please explain, you're not allowed to do this.
But they couldn't get you. They were threatening you with what? Deregistration, but you're already retired.
That's right.
Okay, now, I've tried to contact you. Your phone's out of order or your computer's out of order. Do you think, you know, you're quite outspoken, there's a few others, do you think somebody's mucking around with your computer or your phone?
Yeah, look, I am having incredibly bad luck, which sounds like I have on a racetrack too, but this seems to be a lot greater than the average bear. And
APRA means, is this Australian Prudential Regulation Authority? Is that what that means?
Yeah, Health Authority. Yep.
Is an independent statutory authority that supervises institutions across banking, insurance and superannuation and promotes financial system stability in Australia.
No, that's one, but there's another APRA.
I see.
Which is that's the health, yeah.
There's two APRAs.
Yes.
And that's not it.
No. So, we are in trouble because of there's been a legislation passed.
In Queensland?
Yeah, that's it. And
will that come down here from Queensland?
Well, the Victorian government can, and other state governments can pick it up and employ it. And the odds are it's probably going to happen. Now, this act was passed on October the 12th, and it's called the Health Practitioners Regulation, National Law and Other Legislation.
That's APRA.
No.
This is in Queensland.
I'm trying to find out what APRA means.
So the Health Practitioner Regulation, National Law and Other Legislation Amendment Bill, which was passed on October the 12th in Queensland, and other states can adopt it, which is incredible. Now, this is the key, is that the bill prioritises public confidence over public health and safety. And essentially, it's a legislation that national medical censorship becomes a means to ensure public confidence in the government health services. So if anybody questions the government's message, it will be, you know, the equivalent of professional misconduct. And so a doctor can be subjected to an investigation and disciplinary action, including...
So in other words, to use an old bullshit baffles brains. It's bullshit against brains.
You can have health professionals and experts in their fields...
voicing an opinion.
Yeah, yet. And they're not going to be allowed to question...
Yes, what the government says.
Yeah, the secret health advice from the government. They don't. We can't even say, where did you get your secret health advice from? Probably Big Pharma, by the way. But anyway, this is what's in. And if you do try and do this, you can be named and shamed and deregistered.
We've finally got onto what APRA is. I didn't have the H in APRA. That the other prudential one is, didn't. This is the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency.
They can
tell you what you should say or what you can't say under duress.
Yes. Yes. And now this law, basically what they did, and this is what happened with ivermectin. Doctors had said positive things early on in the piece about ivermectin, and also doctors that wanted to do what the Hippocratic Oath was, which is to fully inform people, which we're supposed to do with regards to treatments. If you said anything negative about the vaccines, which they're not, the genetic engineered products, if you said anything negative about them, you could get deregistered.
So I had to bring politics into this, but Trump said that ivermectin was okay to do.
Hydroxychloroquine.
He did?
Yeah.
And anything Trump said, no matter what he did in his last presidency, the current administration just do exactly the opposite. And this is where all this is like Russia, it's like everything. Whatever he said, they did exactly the opposite because they couldn't stand him.
Yeah, look, it's where we're going. This law, if it's incorporated everywhere, we are in diabolical. It means that medicine's become politically based and evidence-based medicine, the ability to discuss new data, as you know, we have talked about the evidence that happened with the passage of time. You will not be able to utilise any of that, and the secret science that they have come up with to give health instructions, that's it, we're cooked. This is frightening. This is really, really frightening.
Well, we started this by saying this is the greatest corruption in our lifetime.
Well, look, you were talking about right back, Sam, about this Dr. Walker and, you know, how he was saying that they were looking at mutating the virus so they could preemptively make a vaccine for this mutating virus that they developed.
And it's a cash cow for them.
And it's a cash cow. It's a bioweapon. That's treason. These people should be put in jail. Now, this guy was, the worldwide director of research and development and scientific planning for Pfizer.
Yep.
And he said this. I mean, it's jailable.
Yeah, and the damage and the Chinese, by having that escape from the lab, they have been on a mission. They've completely damaged the Western world's economy, and that was probably their aim in the first place.
And they also damaged their own economy and their own society.
I don't think they're worried about their society.
Well, with regards,
they're not worried about the people who live in it.
I'm not sure whether you're aware of this or not, but going right back to the original Wuhan leak, what was going on is that China had Belt and Road.
Yeah, Belt and Road. Yep.
Activities in Italy and in Iran.
And Strand Victoria.
Yeah, but we at least stopped.
Stopped it, yeah.
What they did, they allowed the workers to continue to fly in and fly out of Italy back to China and Iran, just spreading the bloody infection.
It's extraordinary. And nothing. You'd think nothing. Nothing will ever happen under the present administration in America. And
I hope what you said before, with the Republicans in Congress, we've got to...
But they'll get 2 years to do that, and then the real election comes up, not the midterm, and if the Republicans don't get back in, If the Democrats take the House again or take the government or have the presidency, it'll just never get resolved.
Okay, then we've got a fallback position, which I've got my fingers crossed for, is with DeSantis from Florida.
Yep.
So the Florida government are going to, you know, go ahead and do a research into the side effects of Pfizer, and hopefully that goes ahead and comes out, and then I don't think they'll be able to suppress the results from Florida and DeSantis. And once that comes out, and the true nature of the damage. I mean, I haven't mentioned Dr. Jessica Rose's triple degree holder who's been doing the Vayas figures in America, the damages figures and deaths. She, you can look her up, and Dr. Jessica Rose, not on Google Chrome, and she basically has said that the underreporting is about 40 to 1 of the actual figures registered. And she's now saying there's been, in America, there's been over 2 million people die from the vaccines and over 10 million with permanent
long-term damage. Yeah, it's extraordinary. No, and then I just said there was two, they reckon 2,500 athletes have died from heart attacks and various Doc? Robbie Peterson, we knew it was a fascinating topic 2 years ago when you came in, or 18 months ago, and with that man from Pfizer just saying that the corruption and the politicisation of medicine, as you said, it's out of hand, and this will be the greatest greatest thing that we've dealt with in our life, Don, as far as health anyhow goes, but almost anything if you can talk about corruption being part of the world order. This, you know better than this. So thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to say about
it? I just hope people will go to... look, there's one good site, COVIDmedicalnetwork.com. Don't go through Google Chrome. Then there's another one which Peter McCullough's involved with, Pierre Corey is involved with. It's the site is FLCCC.net, and if you go to those two sites, you can get an enormous amount of awareness and information which has been sadly blocked from our ears and eyes. And
Dr. Robbie Peterson, thank you so much. Maybe we'll do it again in another 18 months.
Thanks very much, Sam, Don.